We are talking about a very well-known machlokas, primarily between Rambam and Ramban. It is something which is important to try and clarify and pin down. Often, machlokasim, or things that are somewhat well-known, get said over in one sentence line here and one sentence line there. And in order to be able to understand things as clearly as possible, it is very helpful to, I think, present the different approaches and what exactly is out there. A good deal of our tefillah, we sometimes experience this much more summertime, but a good deal of our tefillah is focused on Yerushalayim, it's focused on the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, it's focused on the eventual geula and the opportunity to daven and to bring karbanos. We enter Shemoneh Esrei every day uttering the tefillah, Rabbi Hashem Yerushalayim, who's of Yerushalayim, commit, that there's a certain kind of a tefillah that we're trying to offer to be able to get Mikdash back. In order to be able to appreciate that, it is sometimes very hard to appreciate or to look forward to that which we are less aware of. It is sometimes hard to appreciate well that which we maybe have never seen and have never even really sort of imagined. And to that effect, you know, we're going to try to speak a little bit about today, about the reasoning behind offering karbanos. That's a lot of Sefer Vayikra. We sort of shifted as far as Chumash, with Parshas Truma Tetzaveh through the end of Sefer Shmos, dealing with the construction of the Mishkan. And then a lot of Sefer Vayikra, you know, definitely a lot of Sefer Vayikra deals with Kohanim, and a lot of it deals with the Karbanos, especially in the beginning, to get an appreciation of what we're trying to do. This is a much larger sugya. It can be discussed sometimes in a narrow way of just, you know, what are the reasons behind Karbanos? The Ramah, or a Sefer called Torah Sa'ola, the Ramah lists in the beginning of the second chelik of Torah Sa'ola 11 different explanations for why we offer karbanos. Rav Kasher and Torah Shlema in Sefer Vayikra, Rav Kasher offers additional explanations. But there's a lot out there as far as different reasons why it is that we offer karbanos. Etzem, the ambiguity is already significant. We're waiting for something that it's so hard to figure out exactly what it is, but it doesn't necessarily excuse us from trying our best to understand it well. The whole question in and of itself is also part of a larger issue which we spoke about in the past, which is looking into Tamei HaMitzvos. The question of what the reason is behind Karbanos presumes that is a valid question. That's not so simple. One could have argued, and we'll see that we saw that there are some that do, that maybe the question is essentially, it's ridiculous. Why are there mitzvos? God told us. Why did God tell us? Who do you think you are to be able to understand the depth of God's wisdom, or what would motivate God? The question is, it's too challenging, it's a ridiculous question to start out with. It's the equivalent of explaining to a two-year-old why it is that you're making some complex decision. The intellectual capacity is not really there. We are working under the assumption, that of the Rambam and the Ramban, that of many, many of the Gedolei HaRishonim, that the question is a worthwhile question. And the question may offer us answers and insight, maybe not into the question of what God's motivation was, but certainly into the question of what is the purpose and the function of karbanos. To whatever extent possible, why are we offering these things? Think about it for a second to give the imagery so we can appreciate it. You are taking an animal. You are bringing the animal, taking a very sharp knife. You are cutting that animal, you're catching the blood. And who's catching the blood? Mikabalav Elach is a Kohen, who's wearing, so last week, some pretty funky clothing, for lack of a better way of saying it, with no chatzitas, and he's walking around, and there's blood on the floor, and he's walking around in blood, and he's catching it, and he's walking with that blood somewhere, and he's throwing it on a mizbeach, on an altar, and he's offering the animal on top of that altar, sometimes to eat part of it, sometimes not to eat part of it, and there'd be a lot of ashes there. And the smell in the mikdash, the reason why the Rambam writes Mor Nevuch, and we have ketores in the mikdash, is to make the smell a little bit better. It's not the most pleasant at first, kind of an experience. And this is what we wait for. This is what we daven for. What exactly is this all about? What exactly is pshat? What are we trying to accomplish by offering karbanos? I'll just point out also, especially if you understand that tefillah somehow is b'makom karbanos and the like, and so much of our avodah is focused on the experience of tefillah, so what exactly are we trying to accomplish? What exactly is going on with karbanos? May give us insight, even not only to what we're waiting for, but potentially into what we're actually doing and what we do engage in on a level from an Avodas Hashem perspective. So we're going to try to highlight really three mahalchim. We're going to briefly talk about the mahalch of the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. We'll then focus a lot more on the Rambam and the Ramban and the give and take that exists in looking at those two mahalchim. At the end, we're going to try and talk about some larger implications to make this not just a question about karbanos, but to make it a question about broader issues. Elements of the structure of today parallel the structure of a regular sugya, but you know we're going to try to give some of the important makoros and to clarify certain things, but we're going to try to, again, move and try to make it broader than just a discussion about karbanos. Let's go. The Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, offers the following mahalach. It's an interesting one. It's a good one to start out with. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi points out that karbanos seem to, if you just look at what seems to be the case in Tanakh, karbanos seem to be critically important for bringing the Shechina, down into this world / connecting Klal Yisrael to the Shechina. Karbanos are incredibly important for connecting Klal Yisrael to the Shechina. That's the word karban, karuk. There's a certain kind of connection that comes about through karbanos. That's step one of the Kuzari. Step two of the Kuzari, well, how does that happen? Why is offering karbanos the way to do that? Like we saw when we spoke about Ta'ameh HaMitzvos, it's hard to believe that God needs our karbanos. God is doing just fine. As part of being perfect, is not being chaser, not needing something. So what exactly are we offering when we bring karbanos? So Yehuda Halevi just writes the following. We know that we have, as far as take man, and from man welcome to karbanos. Man, says Yehuda Halevi, has a guf and has a neshama. We have spiritual and physical parts of ourselves. What allows the spiritual, the neshama, to stay within the guf? What allows it to happen? Physical mizonos, food. A person doesn't eat, the neshama will just leave. The person dies, the body. What allows that connection to persist is mizonos, is food. Hanefesh is lo tischaber, kiyim beruach ham tivi. You need this. We don't know why that's true. We don't know why food is necessary for keeping the nefesh connected. I'm using nefesh and neshama interchangeably here. I apologize if that really bothers some of us who are more familiar with the terms. But I am. Why exactly that works, I don't know. Says Yehuda Halevi, I don't have necessarily a great shot as to why that's so, but that's just gazra, chachma halyona, that's just what happens. Karbanos are that which we use to create a certain kind of dveikus, to create a certain kind of connection. That's what Yehuda Halevi's pshat. I would just add an important sort of ha'ara in light of this. Sometimes there are things that work in Avodas Hashem, and sometimes there are things that we are commanded to do, and maybe I don't always understand exactly how it works. Maybe it's not always clear to me. Why is this exactly so important? Why is this going to lead to something? Often, that which has the greatest impact, that which can be incredibly important for a person's relationship to Ribono Shel Olam, is sometimes that which they know works, but they can't really say why. It's sometimes things that it's hard to give a good rational explanation for certain things that are still very, very effective. And part of what karbanos, at least in this context, has the ability, it brings us closer. How exactly it brings us closer, I don't know, but I know it works. I know that the mikdash is the place where we are closest. I know the Ram defines that place as the base of Voda. It's a place where that's primarily what we are doing there. And the Ramban says it's the place of Shechina. And they're definitely connected. The base of Voda is the place where the Shechina is. I know it's there, even if I can't always understand why, I can understand it's very effective. Even if it comes, and I want to connect to what it means to want to have a rebuilt Yerushalayim. So if I can't focus always on the details of karbanos and why they are so important, I can understand the incredible role that they play. I can understand the kind of impact that they are able to have. That is one. Two, the approach of the Rambam. The Rambam's mahalach is very famous. It's often said over in sort of like a one-line kind of a move. the problem is that he really talks about it in three contexts, the reasons for Karbanos. This is a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. These are wild ideas on some level. The Rambam's in Mor Nevuchim. They're wild if you're not a Mor Nevuchim person. Let's start like that. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, I'm sorry, I have one of them is in English, one of them is in Hebrew on the sheet, just because one of them I had already a Makoro sheet of, and that one's the English. Mor Nevuchim was written in Arabic, so the English or the Hebrew is lavda after the biggest difference, as long as it's a quality translation. So since, what drink? Should I help out? And I'll just, do your thing. The Rambam writes in Gimel Amud Beis like this. Man is Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. They're used to a certain form of avoda. We're all used to certain things. And Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, so they're used to, it was very popular at the time. They're used to worshiping avodah zarah, offering sacrifice in the life as a primary way of offering of worshiping avodah zarah. People at that time, says Rambam, it's impossible to go from one extreme to the other suddenly. Therefore, we needed to have to abandon certain ways and to gradually build. The Rambam writes there in Mor Nevuchim that the purpose of Karbanos, that which we are trying to accomplish, is to wean Klal Yisrael away from avodah zarah, to give them a different form of avodah. So it's an avodah zarah. It is elements that look similar to avodah zarah. The ultimate goal was not because per se, inherently, this is the best way to worship Hashem, but it becomes the best way to worship Hashem for where Klal Yisrael were at. And for where Klal Yisrael was, they needed to gradually, to get them off of avodah zarah, to be able to worship God in the best way possible. In the best way possible, we'll get to your question in a second. In order to do it, we need to sort of build a little bit in order to be able to get to that point. Man cannot conceive of accepting, a rejection of all of these practices. Man cannot dream of possibly, Bnei Yisrael, getting to that point. A lot of, it says in the past, I think, it's an important idea. When you learn Chumash, you have to remember, again, we said that before, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, despite certain Ma'amari Chazal, according to the Psukim in Nach, Klal Yisrael were very, very distant, the way the Rambam describes it also. So much of the evolution of Klal Yisrael, so much of the Chataim and the complaints that take place in Klal Yisrael have to be viewed in the context of a group of people that are really sort of in need of movement, of elevation. When Chazal say, in the Zohar or other places, that Bnei Yisrael, right, the end of the Memtesh Shari Tumba, when they're in Mitzrayim, you can't just go from there all the way up right away. That's what the Rambam writes in one place in the Moreh. The Rambam in the Moreh in Gimel Membav offers an additional idea, which was, again, a little bit of a Mitzrayim-focused idea. The Mitzrim worshipped animals. The animals were things that you could never touch. Those were things that needed to be kadosh. Those were things that were separate as part of the function of Karban Pesach and the like. That's something which is very, very separate. One of the things you accomplish by offering Karbanos, and there again, there are two ways of saying it, whether the message is to the Mitzrim or the message is to us, but it's a message of those things are not gods. It is denigrating and breaking a connection to Avodah Zarah. Both approaches in the Moreh are about distancing from Avodah Zarah. One is by taking a similar avoda and channeling it differently. The other is by Dafka taking their deity, their gods, and destroying and killing and the like. That's the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. There are a lot of questions that one can ask on the Rambam. Yehuda, let's go with one.
Why did you want this same question?
Okay. One, and this is a more general Ha'ara. Rav Kook spoke about this, I believe, in Ma'amarei Raya. But a lot of Mepharshim struggle with. Etzem the idea, and I'll even broaden it. Etzem the idea of historical explanations for mitzvos. Torah is Torah that is nitzchi. Torah is there forever. The biggest believer in that is Rambam. It's one of the Gemara Ikarim, that everything that's there is there forever. Torah is there. The notion of a historical explanation is interesting. Oh, no. The reason we have Karbanos, because it sounds like if there would not be Avodah Zarah, we would never have the mitzvah of Karbanos. Rambam makes it in a chinami. But as far as its enduring relevance, that is something which is really not so clear. Now, if you're like a Rav Kook person, we haven't learned Rav Kook that well, you know, oh, maybe Rav Kook didn't think you up for Karbanos later. So then you would say, ah, so Rav Kook would be fine with this. The problem is that Rav Kook's sheet is much more complex, and the notion of these kinds of historical explanations don't really work as well. But that's one thing going on in the Rambam. The Ramban argues with the Rambam for internal Karbanos reasons. Not the broader Mahalach, at this point, I think, is just wrong, but for internal Karbanos reasons. The Ramban says two things. One question happens with Cook's. Second question. Says the Ramban, why does the Torah tell us offering a Karban is Reach Nichoach Lashem? Nothing about this should lead to Reach Nichoach if you're a Ramban person. It's a necessary evil. But a pleasant smell, klape, the Ribono Sha'olam, really? Is that what Reach Nichoach sounds like? It's a way of weaning people off of Avodah Zarah as we try to shift them to a more sophisticated and developed worship of Hashem? Is that really what it's all about? The Ramban also points out, if it's about distancing from Avodah Zarah, Ribono Sha'olam, how come there were so many Karbanos offered by Noach, by the Avos? Why were they offering Karbanos? If it's all about the threat of Avodah Zarah, removing Avodah Zarah, does Avram have that? Avram needs to get himself away from Avodah Zarah. He's the first monotheist, you know, at least you know, for a while. Avram was so Noah. Noah needs to get Avodah Zarah concerned. He gets out of the Teva. Really? Says the Ramban, there's no way the Rambam is right. He says it over in a very, very strong way. He speaks very strongly about what the Rambam's doing to the world of Karbanos. V'hinei, source number 6, Haim Divrei Havai. Yirpu Shever Gadol V'kushya Rabban. Yaz HaShulchan Hashem Meguel. He's taking the Shulchan Hashem, the Mizbeach, and making it disgusting. She'inenu rak lehotzi miliban shel rishon v'tipshei olam. What the whole purpose of another question? We only offer Karbanos for the rishayim, for the fools. They need Karbanos. All of Vayikra is about the fools, that removing a mistaken idea. Is that what it's all about? Says the Ramban, there's no way that's what Pshat could be. What does the Rambam really hold? How does the Rambam respond? So just like in the world of Lamdas here also. You have two main Mahalchim. One is to answer each question, you know, one by one. One by one. How is this Reach Nichoach? Answer. Because Ribono Shel Olam very much appreciates the progress that a person makes. Right? It's a nice insight. A person comes from offering Avodah Zarah, and now they are going to be, they're weaning off of that. They're building towards something more. That's something very special. That's something which sometimes you have someone who's struggling with something. You have someone struggling with something. You have a guy sometimes that, you know, let's say getting up at 6:55 and davening at 7:10 in the morning is a bit of a struggle. So sometimes there's progress is chashuv. Maybe that is not fully okay, so he's not, you know, going to the mikveh beforehand and learning, you know, 7 bakamara be'in before that chakras. It's not, you know, whatever it is. But I'm saying it's still progress in general is a beautiful thing. And progress is something which is very nice, and that can generate reach and kolach. The concern of kodem matan Torah, maybe karbanos have a different purpose, kodem and l'achar matan Torah. Maybe l'achar matan Torah, this is the purpose they have. Rav Kook's historical idea, maybe not. The Rambam clearly believes that we do give historical explanations for mitzvos. It doesn't mean for the Rambam it's not there forever, but it means that part of that Torah can both be timely and timeless at the same time. That Torah has the capacity to be impacting a specific generation, but still persist, and it's still, we have to still keep in all Doros. But for a lot try and pull back the Rambam. A lot try to reinterpret the Rambam. One of the reasons why you reinterpret the Rambam is because in Yad HaZaka and Hilchos Me'ilah and Parakhas Halakha Chasni, and in Hilchos Me'ilah, the Rambam writes explicitly that offering Karbanos is a chok. It's a chok. We don't know pshat. We don't really get it. It's just something which is there. It's nothing beyond a chok. And that already gets some of the Mefarshim, some Rishonim even, thinking that maybe this is not what's really going on in the Rambam. Sefer HaZikaron is a sefer written by the Ritva. The Ritva is defending the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim at length about Karbanos. The Ritva says that. It's like a classic. He doesn't really mean it that much in Mor Nevuchim. He doesn't really mean it that much. It's a way of people that are having a hard time defending, understanding Karbanos. It's trying to give them an explanation. But it's not what the Rambam really believes on Hasof. Therefore, don't be bothered by the historical place. It's not his real pshat. Don't be bothered by Reach Nichoach. It's not his real pshat. Don't be bothered by Kod Matan Torah. It's not his real pshat. The Rambam believes in it, but he believes that it's an explanation for someone, but it's not fully, it's not the real pshat as to what is going on. Others suggest, some of the Achronim suggest, another idea, a difference, again, we're a little more like sheer-like almost, a difference between why it was instituted and what was instituted. It could be that we needed to have a particular avoda. It's helpful to have an avoda and a center place to focus on. Why did we choose Karbanos? Because of the historical significance. But now when we offer it, it is imbued with greater significance. It may have started for a specific historical reason, but now, as a result of the Ribbono Shel Olam giving us this as a tzivoy, it has much more that it offers as a... It's more than that. It's not just the Avodah Zarah piece. It accomplishes more. Like the Rambam writes in the Moreh, that certain Karbanos, they're symbolic of sin, of the destruction of sin sometimes, when you do certain zrikas. That it accomplishes other purposes also. The third idea, in the Orgel Daliyahu, Daiyashor, this is in source number 9, has a nice pshat. I don't think this is pshat in Mor Nevuchim, but I think it's a nice idea if you want to connect to Karbanos. He thinks, and this relates to the Ramban, the difference between the Ramban and the Rambam is not so much. He thinks that the Rambam does not mean Vitzarach Lomer beKavanas haRambam. Orgel Daliyahu is a wonderful sefer on the parsha, especially if you're a little bit into Chassidus and the like. It's a wonderful, wonderful sefer. I think, I mean, his nowadays his sons Svarim are more popular. Avram Shor, but Orgel Daliyahu Shor was amazing. And the notion of Chassidus in Litvish places, the bringing Reb Tzadok, Orgel Daliyahu Shor is a reshiva of Tarvadas. A lot of Hasidic, so he was very into Sfas MS, bringing Reb Tzadok in many ways to America. A lot of that is Gedalia Shor. I think there are those who claim he's one of the first American-born Gedolim, who was born a lot, you know, Reb Moshe is born in Europe, a lot are born in Europe, one of the first American-born, and that's also something which is very special. So it's a beautiful sefer in Chumash. So, Gedalia Shor offers the following suggestion. And this answers a lot of the questions. When it comes to Gemara and Sanhedrin, the Isser of Avodah Zarah is not only Avodah Zarah, but Avizrayu of Avodah Zarah. Anything that's related to Avodah Zarah, anything around, anything peripheral, is also part of Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? Al derech machshava. Harchakam we call regesh al yeshosh yeshno ba'adam. It's a way of sort of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah doesn't only mean, we spoke about Avodah Zarah a couple weeks ago with the Rambam, the Ramban, and Rav Wolbe, and one we saw in the thought of Rav Wolbe, Avodah Zarah is not only bowing down to an idol. There are a lot of other things that are Avodah Zarah-like. That's part of the significance and relevance of Avodah Zarah. So Rav Wolbe suggested, whenever anything in your list of priorities, in your hierarchy, whenever anything is above God, that's an act of Avodah Zarah, says Rav Wolbe. Not just that sin, but that has elements of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is about establishing my list of hierarchies with God on top. Avodah Zarah for him is about worshipping something other than God, worshipping myself, caring more about me. It's about the Ribbono Shel Olam, sure. And part of what's here is understanding the role of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The role of the Ribbono Shel Olam is about removing some of my, it being about me, removing a certain kind of haughtiness, a certain kind of gaiva, in order to become closer. That kind of idea, take the Rav Wolbe idea, it's about breaking Avodah Zarah, but not the Avodah Zarah that's not relevant nowadays, but the Avodah Zarah that's still relevant. The Avodah Zarah that's still around. A certain kind of orientation in which, again, I'm not bowing down to things, but an orientation in which I am relating to, maybe not the Ribbono Shel Olam as the ultimate thing I should always be worshipping, but I'm worshipping other things. There's a room, obviously, for lots of other things, but in the context of a certain list of hierarchies where, you know, where God comes first, in the Marines, has a unit core God country, so in Judaism, God comes first, and that's something which is, you know, got to be somewhat comfortable with. I think every religion believes that God comes first. It's a question of, you know, who that God is. And, you know, great to be right. So there's definitely, you know, that's one orientation. That's the Rambam's approach as a whole. The Rambam thinks karbanos are about distancing ourselves from Avodah Zarah, breaking up Avodah Zarah, it made elements of coke. We saw some ideas here. It's not so clear, end of the day, is the Rambam's dominant approach or not. What part of what this relates to, maybe we'll spend this next week, is the question of karbanos la'asid lava. If it really is only about moving from Zarah, will that impact at all bringing karbanos bisman by a shlishi, or possibly even later stages in the historical development of Klal Yisrael, which will occur after by a shlishi, tchisamesim, you know, as you continue to sort of evolve, what's going to happen. Let's shift to the Ramban, and after we sort of like outline these shitas, we'll try and extract some really sodos that emerge from them. The Ramban, I think, is not always quoted accurately. Rambam, I think, also. But the Ramban has a couple of ideas. First of all, he very much does not like the Ramban. Argued very, very strongly, we saw before, with intense lashonos, a rejection of the Rambam Shita. What does the Ramban do? This is classic Ramban on HaTorah. Quotes the Rambam, the Mora rejects it. Okay. Then he offers as follows. We're in source number 6. He first offers a pshat al derech ha'agada. He offers a pshat al derech ha'agada. Agada, Ramban references Chazal, or Moshe Knes Alev. It's an idea that people can connect to. Karban's about, it's not about Hashem. Karban is offered for us. And the Ramban explains, we'll give an overview now. Rabbeinu Bechai there also talks about it, and he elaborates a bit also. Many of us know this idea. That when I offer a karban, it's not about God. The impact of the karban is its impact on me, says the Ramban. When I offer karbanos, different stages of the process, I have to bring a karban chatas. When I bring a karban chatas, and I see what's being done to different parts of the animal, so I'm thinking that whole time that maybe that should be, and this is a very intense idea, done to me as a result of my sins. That maybe I'm deserving of this also. What's happening to the animal should be happening to me, and that's supposed to affect and impact a person's orientation to improve and to get better. It's the ein daitorat lishlom imenu amunas rose. It's not about fixing bad amunas. Rather, lashon karbanos is karbani lachmi lisha reyat mechochi v'yoser roi lishma atam she'omrim bahem ki ba'avor she'maisa b'nei adam nigmar b'maisa b'divar machshava. Every act we do has an element of thinking about it, then talking about it, then doing it. Tiva Hashem ki kasher yachta yavi karban. You sin, you bring a karban. So what do I do? Yismuch yodu olav hegan ha'maisa. I do smicha. I lean on the karban. I'm remembering the maisa that I did that wasn't so appropriate. V'yizvada b'fiv k'neged ha Dibor, I engage in vidoy. I articulate that was just wrong. But, and then when I look at different parts of the body and I see the animal's body, what's happening there, then I think for a second, v'roi lo she'yishpach damo, v'yisraf gufo lo chesed ha'boreis lo kemimene ha'tmur. If it weren't for the fact that God looked at his carbon, God accepted it, it should be me on there. It's all about its impact on me. This is like an idea in general we know, similar to the Rambam. The Ram and the Ramban in general believe, unlike, again, the Ramban in certain places, Api Kabbalah argues, we'll talk about it in a second, but the Ramban often understands, in Parsky Seitze, the Rambam in Marne Bruch in a bunch of places, the purpose of mitzvahs fundamentally, not like the Zohar's Lashon, the purpose of mitzvahs fundamentally are for us. They improve us. For the Rambam, in this case, they improve us as far as fixing our emunah. They clarify, they give us good faith, and they give us the capacity to worship Hashem in the best way possible. For the Ramban, it's about improving ourselves. When I see what happens to this karban, then already I'm in a different place. For this pshat in the Ramban, and I think this is true for so many mitzvos, I think we've spoken about mitzvos can have enormous impact, but only if we reflect upon them. It is very easy to offer a karban and for it to have no impact. It is very easy to put on tefillin every morning and for tefillin not to have the impact we would ideally like them to have. So for sure they do a lot of things for us. For sure we're making wonderful mitzvos. But a person who stops and thinks and appreciates that which is going on becomes transformed as a result. You can offer a karban and be yotze it. You yotze everything. I say the vidoy. I do the smicha. I watch the animal. But if you want it to really impact you, the Ramban and the Ramban's world, you have to appreciate what's going on and have that next step of the process of that sort of like that thought process that's there. The Ramban's idea is a much more sort of positive take on Karbanos. It's not about removing problems. It's about sort of improving us. There are a couple problems with the Ramban also. Rabbeinu Bachai points out, doesn't explain well, carbon sibor. The carbon sibor is not about individual's sins. It doesn't explain certain karbanos that may have nothing to do with sins. Like a carbon ola may not have to do that much with sins. It may be like the Lashon HaGemara in Zvachim, a daron, a gift, a matana to the Ribonos Olam. So it's not so clear how it explains all karbanos. That's part of the question. The Ramban's real pshat at the end. The Ramban's real pshat at the end, and I think this is just sometimes not appreciated, and we're not going to talk about it at all, but just the Ramban raids, he just adds in, Elu hadvar miskablin moshchem es aleib kedivri agada. This is a pshat which is miskablin, which people can hear. You can hear this idea, that's a nice pshat. And it's moshchem haleib, it moves people, they get that. V'al derecha emes yesh perkarbanos sod ne'elam. The Ramban's pshat that he goes, which is not just dvar hamiskablim and that are moshchem es aleib. The Ramban's pshat, always we've got to remember this. The Ramban's a mystic. The Ramban's a mekubal. He's not a rationalist in the standard way we talk about it. The Ramban is someone who believes the real purpose of karbanos is to. It's aderach kabbalah. You have to learn some kabbalah to get what it means yichud. Why certain shemos of Hashem are mentioned in karbanos and not other ones. The Ramban understands, like he does often, we spoke about with ta'ameh hamitzvos. There's the aderach pshat understanding, which is about what it does for us. The Ramban often has, like the line Avoda Tzarech Gavoa, this other realm of Pitoris HaKabbalah, where Avodas Hashem functions not only in the way that we understand it, but also in the upper world. And that's important to remember. That one of the real pshatim for the Ramban, it's an Alderech HaKabbalah idea. Again, we're not going into that Kabbalah. I don't understand it. But that's important to remember as far as the Shita of the Ramban. Let me chaz what we saw so I can try to just shift and maybe extract a bunch of different yisodos that emerge from the Rambam and the Ramban. We saw the Kuzari. It brings Shechina into Klal Yisrael. How? I don't really know. It's like food keeping our neshamas in our body. I don't really know how, but it does it. Second idea, we saw the Rambam. The Rambam Shita, hard to pin down exactly what he holds. Something to do with distancing from Avodah Zarah and the progression of Klal Yisrael. Elements of it are definitely a chok. How exactly it works out is not entirely clear. Those that think it's pure distancing from Avodah Zarah, those that think that it's much more that Oid Al Yoh is pshat, it's about removing any shemets of Avodah Zarah within us. Rav Dessler Mechon Eliyahu has a somewhat similar idea. The Ramban's idea, it's about Milashon Hiskarvus, it brings us closer, and the act of bringing us closer is one that is very, very important, and that is something which the symbolic effect, the impact of the karban. Let's just point out a bunch of different ideas. Some of these we mentioned. I think some of these are just nice practical things to remember that emerge from a conversation about it. One, before we start anything, just to point out, this Rambam Ramban is not just a Rambam Ramban issue about karbanos. It has to be viewed in light of larger worldview issues about ta'ameh hamitzvos, about historical things as opposed to Alpi Kabbalah. This is a larger issue going on in Ramban. This is one place where they happen to argue. Part of the reason why the Ramban is so bothered by the Ramban's idea is because it's not just a pshat about karbanos. It's coming from a world and making certain assumptions that the Ramban really, I think, is uncomfortable with and really does not buy into as much. But let me just point out a practical etzah from each. The Ramban. The Ramban's idea, the Ramban writes in Mora, and I think it's so important to remember, we referenced it before. Healthy growth is always done in stages. The Ribbono Shalom understood that with Klal Yisrael. They weren't ready for what would ideally have been the case. They came from a certain, they were functioning in a world of Avodah Zarah, and they needed to be able to develop in a way where they would get to their ultimate destination. That's a practical insight. Obviously, none of us come from places of a bodhisattva. We all come from wonderful places. But as far as our own religious growth, and I would say especially in interacting with others, to value progress. Often, a bodhisattva Hashem, I think in the magazine Newsweek, they used to have every week in the beginning, like a list of certain like people, and there would be like an arrow going up or an arrow going down. Was this a... You know, was it a good week or a bad week? Often in Avodas Hashem, what's most critical is not the question of where you're at. You know, if you're like a Desler person, where in the battlefield? If you're a more modern Desler person, where in the football field you are? It's a question of, you know, what direction are you heading in? And the value of progress, the value of an additional step. And like we suggested, that may come at enormous reach nichoach Hashem. There's a lot of sweetness. There's a lot of wonderful things that come from a person just making taking one step forward and another step forward. That's very chashuv. Sometimes we interact, or ourselves, we sometimes feel like we're not exactly, as we're moving. Moving is valuable. And moving generates enormous reach nichoach. And also, it's very hard to break habits. The purpose here, it's very hard to break bad habits. That's why it's important to cultivate good ones. That's why it's important to do your best. Someone who lemashal, let's give an example. A guy who's in college who never takes a class that starts before 12 o'clock. He gets in the habit of waking up every morning at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's a hard habit to break, to be able, and then he suddenly has to start getting up at a normal hour and being able to function in the morning as well. It's hard habits to break. Habits are hard to break. And a person knows that they have to take their time with them, and they have to build and try and develop good habits because they're so important. Rambam says, that their habits were there, it needed to be developed. That's an idea from the Rambam. From the Ramban, there's a lot to be said for the Ramban, again, about the impact of mitzvos. We who don't have karbanos, to try and remember elements of the Ramban's idea, if you want to broaden it, like I referenced before, mitzvos have enormous impact on us, on the kinds of people that we are, but it requires that moment of reflection. It requires that moment beforehand, during, or maybe after, just appreciating that which it was. Maybe beforehand, so let's say we're taking tefillin, before I put them on, to appreciate what that means to be wearing tefillin. What am I trying to remember when I put on tefillin? While I'm wearing them, it's one of the reasons why the postgame, there's so many times during davening when you touch your tefillin in Kriyat Shema, in the Rosh, when you say Bracha of Oter Yisrael, you're supposed to be touching. When you are potentially touching your phone, to remember it then, and afterwards think about what did I gain from that, and if you don't ponder it, so Enechnami, Maral, it'll still have a lot of impact. It'll still change things. But if a person wants to develop even more, that step of just thoughtful about it, with the humility of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, that if I don't have an idea which resonates, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. But if I can have an idea, it can be very, very moving. Let me just end with an important ha'ara. Someone wrote an article a bunch of years ago, I think pointing this out, not necessarily for the point that we are making, but I think it's interesting. It's an article, The Deeper Conflict Between Maimonides and Ramban Over the Sacrifices. It's interesting ha'ara. If you, just give an insight to who the Ram and the Ramban were. This is the Ben-Adam L'Chavero Midos issue. The Ramban argues very, very strongly with the Rambam about karbanos. You're making the table of God disgusting. You are saying worthless things. He speaks very, very strongly against the Rambam. However, in the time of the Maimonidean controversy, when the Rambam was being critiqued, the Rambam's books are being burned in the times of the Rishonim, the Ramban is one of the figures that comes along and is there to try to make a degree of shalom. The Ramban is a figure who's there, who's trying to create shalom in Klal Yisrael, and not throwing the Rambam out. There is an ability to argue very, very